Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into another episode of the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. I am Ryan Wormley, joined today on this beautiful Friday by Pat Fitzmaurice and Scott Bogman. Boggs, D-Row remains a little bit under the weather, so we really appreciate you filling in for him. He will be the typical host, third host, on this show every Friday. Guys, football is back in our lives. It is so exciting. This is our first Friday show of the season. We are going to run through and preview all the games on the Sunday slate and Monday as well, and just have some fun talking a little football with the guys. We'll go game by game, asking some key questions in every single matchup. Fellas, we will start right at the beginning, Sunday afternoon, early slate, Panthers at Falcons. I'm so excited. It's our first game of the whole year that we're previewing. It's just very fun to be back. Panthers at Falcons. The key question here: will the Falcons pass the ball enough for Kyle Pitts and Drake London to be the stars we believe they can be based on their talent? Fitz, I will start with you.
Yes, and I think our definition of enough can be lowered a little bit for the Falcons because they are splitting the target pie so few ways here. It is Drake London and Kyle Pitts and Bijan Robinson and Mac Hollins. No, I mean, it's pretty much those three guys. So, like, London had almost a 30% target share as a 21-year-old rookie. Like, I think he's going to get enough balls. And I think Pitts can, too. So, yes, the Falcons are going to be run heavy. But with just those two guys getting the bulk of the downfield targets, I think they're going to be enough targets for both.
Yeah, there was that some beat reporter, I think it was with The Athletic, had said something recently. It came out this week about, like, that Pitts might be fourth on the team in targets. And I was like, behind whom? Like, if it's not exactly one of those three, any play calling is malpractice if it goes through anybody else. Boggs, what do you think here?
I mean, I agree with you guys. I think that probably not enough passes to go around for both guys to dominate in yards. But I think London will get the yards, like Fitz said, the high target share percentage. Pitts is probably going to have to lean on the touchdowns to become, you know, a big superstar this year. This team's going to run more than anyone. That's why they went out and got Bijan. I think you're right, Worm. It would be crazy to see Pitts not be at least third in targets on this team. He's going to be second, I think. But enough to go around for guys that talented, but probably, like Fitz said, not enough to go around for Snack Hollins or anybody else on that team.
Yeah, Bogman, I feel like on all the shows I did this summer, I'm not sure I mentioned Drake London's name more than three or four times total. It feels like somebody that for the round he was going in kind of flew under the radar in a lot of the offseason discussion because everybody kind of agrees that he's really talented. Everybody knows he's going to get a high target share and everybody knows that they're not going to throw at a high volume compared to the rest of the league. So it's kind of just is what it is. What do you think his ceiling is this season if he takes a leap, if Ritter takes a leap, if this offense throws more than we expected?
It's a wide receiver one. He has the talent to be that. It's just this offense is not conducive to making a wide receiver one. So I don't know that he'll get there. There's another big target guy in the end zone in Kyle Pitts. And obviously they're going to use Bijan a lot by the goal line as well. So it's a tougher road to hoe than a lot of other wide receivers, but he can definitely get there if given the opportunity.
Before we move to the next game, I want to make a quick note about our multi-league assistant. It makes juggling multiple leagues easier than ever. I'm in like 15 leagues this year in terms of just the redraft ones. So this will be very helpful and definitely a tab I go to often on my computer. Make sure you guys head to fantasypros.com/myplaybook to get expert advice for all your teams in one spot very conveniently so you can dominate every league every week. Fellas, let's move to game number two, Texans at Ravens. My key question here is, will there be an adjustment period for the Ravens with both the new wide receiving core and also the new offensive coordinator? You bring back a lot of the offensive line. You bring back Lamar, obviously. You bring back Andrews. But the receivers and the offensive coordinator, how much of an adjustment period will there be early on in the season? We all have high expectations long term. But early on, Boggs, starting with you.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be as big as we think because Lamar can make every throw, right? I think the bigger thing is the pace. It's going to have to be conditioning, making it to the end of the game, not cramping up, especially in the heat early in the season. I think that's going to be the biggest adjustment for the Ravens to make. But in terms of the offense, you didn't change enough of the offensive personnel to completely change this offense. So it's still going to be very run heavy. They're still going to rely on Dobbins and Lamar a lot. But I don't think it's going to be that big of a transition as a lot of people do, because I'm a guy that watched Lamar at Louisville. I know he can make every throw on the field. So I think just letting him sit back there and pick apart the defense is going to be better for his all-around game and for his future. I know you're a Ravens fan, Worm, so you know that's going to be great for you. This dude can make every throw, and a lot of people just they haven't really let him go. And I think they're going to let him do that this year, and it might be his best year ever.
Yeah, I fully agree. I've said before this offseason that one of the key elements to this season that I really love is that I think this is the best offensive line that he's had since that MVP 2019 season. But it now comes with better play calling than he had in that season. And, of course, a much improved wide receiving core. But Fitz, same question. Will we see that early on? I know we talked about on yesterday's show with Erickson the fact that the Texans' defense is worse defending the run than it is against the pass. Do we think we're going to see kind of one of these coming out parties from him, first game with a new coordinator, or might there be an adjustment period?
I think there might be a little bit of an adjustment period with the passing game under Todd Monken. Lamar didn't play in the preseason, so it's going to take him some time maybe to get in sync. He's never played with Odell Beckham before. He's never played, at least in, you know, a live real game with Zay Flowers before. So, yeah, I mean, I think that will happen. Luckily, with this matchup against the Texans, they can lean on the running game heavily as 10-point home favorites. And, you know, the passing game might take a little more time to come around, but I think it'll get there.
I'm so excited to see this offense in all its glory for the first time. Even a guy like Nelson Agholor being their wide receiver four this year, he would have been wide receiver one at certain points last season. So,
oh, you're going to be so happy when he drops a bomb.
listen, if he's getting open for bombs, that's an upgrade over what they had last year. So, and if they're even just throwing the ball down the field, that's an upgrade over the play calling. This is also a perfect opportunity to talk about this year's Fantasy Over-Under Challenge presented by Betting Pros. Each week, the guys will be making over-under picks for 10 different players for how many fantasy points we expect them to score. Submit your picks to play along with the guys so you don't miss out on the chance to win awesome prizes. One of this week's players is Mark Andrews. His line is set at over-under 9 fantasy points. What do we think he does in week one with this new look offense, Fitz?
I'm going to go under here just because Andrews is a little bit banged up. And I do think they're going to be really run heavy against a Texans run funnel defense. Like, they have every incentive to run the ball a lot and just kind of run it down Houston's throat.
Boggs, same question, over under 9 fantasy points. And I will just say on the side of the over, potentially play devil's advocate to Fitz. This is, if you are thinking about the fact that he hasn't played with Zay before, he hasn't played with Odell before, he might kind of fall back on, oh, if everything is not going well, I'm going to throw to Mark Andrews. What do you think, Bogman?
I think I'm going to go with you, Worm, here. I over, and it's because this dude gets in the end zone. And I think he does here against the Texans defense. And, you know, he is a little questionable. He has to score that touchdown early, but 30 yards and a score, I think he can do that. So I'll go over on Mark Andrews.
Be sure to make your picks as well if you're following along all season long. Win some cool prizes. That's fantasypros.com/challenge. Let's go to game number 3. We're sticking in the AFC North here. Bengals at Browns. And my question here, I think, is probably an obvious one for a lot of people here in the first week of the season. Will the rust be fully shaken off for Deshaun Watson after getting a full offseason and shaking off some of the rust, theoretically, in the back half of last season? Fitz?
Yeah, that's a good question, Worm. And I'm not sure how to answer this one because we heard reports in training camp that Deshaun Watson was not looking that sharp whenever he was being forced to operate from the pocket. And I think Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski wants him to operate from the pocket. So I'm not sure how that's going to go. Like if when Watson was in Houston, he was sort of allowed to play in that sort of schoolyard, drop the play in the dirt kind of way. And like, I just don't think the Browns want him to be that guy in Cleveland. So, we'll see. I mean, this has been one of the most vexing questions of the offseason, and I don't think we have enough evidence to answer it either way yet.
Yeah, Bogman, I think we've had some guys internally at Fantasy Pros where we're kind of split. Some people, I know Erickson has been a big fan of Deshaun all offseason. I certainly have not. It's hard for me to shake what I saw with my two eyes last year in watching him on the field. What do you make of him? And again, same question. Do you think here in week one, we'll see a new Deshaun?
Yeah, I think that's it, man. You know, I don't want to say that, yes, we're going to see a new Deshaun until I see it with my own eyes. And we saw the rust, you know, and it's sudden. His rust made me a little wary of Calvin Ridley coming back. And watching Calvin Ridley, I went, there is no issue with him at all. He looks like the best wide receiver for Jacksonville by a million miles. So it's weird to see so little rust on a guy like Calvin, who's missed a bunch of time, and then to see Deshaun Watson have a ton of rust. And I think it's not just rust. It's a lot of, you know, him being a little more constricted in this offense. You don't want to run Nick Chubb 30 times just to let Deshaun Watson fumble it on a run or throw a pick or something. So I'll say no. I don't think he fits very well. DTR has looked better than him. And, you know, I'm not a Deshaun Watson guy. So I'll say no.
If we do see Ridley kind of come out without any rust, do you think that speaks at all to just the difference in positions, like how hard it is to play? Not that wide receiver doesn't require timing and skill and finesse and all that, sure, but it's just a totally different position, right?
It's way less responsibility. It's way more athleticism. And obviously, Calvin Ridley's not going through the stuff off the field that Deshaun was going through. So there's too many differences to kind of to relate them, which is I should not have done that to start the season. But you know, I don't know that it's definitely just positional and situational there.
We're going to talk about the Jaguars game next. But first, you guys know how much I love going to see sports in person. And now that the NFL is finally back in our lives, I'm excited to finally check out Mile High Stadium right here in Denver. Or maybe I'll even catch the defending NBA champion Nuggets this winter too. Whichever sport I choose, the best way to get tickets to any of these games is on Game Time, the official ticketing partner of Fantasy Pros Fantasy Football. For last minute amazing deals on tickets to see your favorite football team this September, download Game Time. And as you've heard us say before, it's not just football. Game Time has tickets to baseball games, concerts, and comedy shows across the country. So download the Game Time app and redeem code FANTASYPROS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the Game Time app and enter code FANTASYPROS, all one word, for $20 off. No matter where you live, get out and have some fun this week. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed. I mentioned we were going to move to this Jags game. It's Jaguars at the Colts. And my question is about Jacksonville. Are they ready to take the leap this season, Fitz?
As serious AFC championship contenders, I don't think they're quite there yet. Like, they're a sexy team for fantasy because of all the skill position talent they have. You know, we're excited about Trevor Lawrence, Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, Travis Etienne. I don't know if their offensive line is good enough. I don't know if their defense is good enough. Maybe as far as the offense being that good and making the big leap, they could do that if the blocking up front is good enough. But as far as just the entire team, defense, getting to the promised land in the AFC, I don't think they're quite there yet.
Yeah, Fitz, we do an internal league here where it's a whole team league where it's a salary cap style draft and you just get every player from that team. I actually came away with the Jags and they were only like the 10th or 11th most expensive team in that draft. I feel like that was a real steal because I think we could be sitting here at the end of the season looking at this team. I'm not saying that these guys are all projected for this points, but there's a non-zero chance that it's a top five quarterback. It's a wide receiver one in fantasy. I'm talking about an RB one in fantasy and a top 10 tight end. Again, we're not necessarily projecting all that to happen for sure for all those guys, but it's in the world of possibility. So I think that they're kind of underrated overall as a fantasy grouping. At least they were in that draft. Bogman, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think specifically with the defense maybe playing catch up here and not being as good as, you know, we initially thought. Trayvon Walker is, he needs to take a big leap this year. But if the defense is bad and the offense is good, it's great for fantasy because now we're playing point for point every week or most weeks at least. And that's what we want out of our fantasy guys. And I'm a little worried about Christian Kirk. I'll say that just because him and Zay Jones have been switching off in certain sets and things like that. So he might get a smaller snap percentage than he had last year. But Evan Engram is still up there. Etienne is still better than Tank Bigsby, I feel like. And Calvin, we talked about him. He looks so good to start the year. So, yeah, a lot of excitement around the Jags. They're going to be very good this year.
Do you have, of kind of their main guys, a guy that you are most excited about relative to their position?
It's got to be Lawrence. I mean, yeah, I agree. Out of everybody, it has to be Lawrence, because all the moves benefited him. You know, the moves for other places, maybe Calvin Ridley's great, but it hurt Kirk, it hurt Zay Jones, it hurts Evan Engram. With Etienne, it hurts bringing Bigsby in. So everything benefiting Trevor Lawrence, it has to be him as the biggest upgrade here.
We're going to sprinkle in a couple of listener questions during the show as well. This one comes from Miggy Vuitton, who asks, do I start Pittman over Kirk this week? I would personally say no, but I want to hear what you guys say. Fitz, what do you think? Pittman over Kirk?
I would also say no, and I just don't want anything to do with the Indianapolis passing game this first week. I mean, Anthony Richardson, it's not going to be pretty. And even though I like Anthony Richardson a lot and think he can develop into an above-average NFL passer, it's going to take time. I mean, this was a guy who completed under 55% of his throws at the University of Florida last year, and that was his first full season as a college starter. So basically a one-year college starter trying to come in and process NFL defenses. Like, it's not going to be pretty. So no, I don't want to roll with Pittman and Richardson's NFL debut.
Totally agree. What do you think, Bogman?
I'm going to split us. I want Pittman, the big man, getting in the end zone. Look, I know it's tough, but let's not forget Anthony Richardson had a lot of drops at Florida, too. He can drop it in the bucket when he's on. If he's on to start, he's going to look good. If he's not, he's going to look bad. Such is the life as an NFL rookie. I'm worried about Kirk in a snap percentage, so I know Pittman's going to be on the field every single play, especially down in the red zone, should they get there in their first game. But I like Pittman to get in the end zone once.
By the way, I just love listening to you guys talk about anybody from their college days. For those who don't know, Fitz and Bogman are the hosts of our Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Show. So make sure in the fantasy offseason you are listening to them every week to dominate the long-term game there as well. Let's go to game number 5. That's Buccaneers at Vikings. Boggs, I'll start with you here. How will a new RB1 in Minnesota, Alexander Mattison, look against a historically stout run defense?
Yeah, it's a tough run defense, but this is going to be, I mean, you know, Minnesota passed more than anyone except Tampa Bay last year because they had Tom Brady, and, you know, I would say 100 of those passes for Tom Brady were short runs, basically dump offs to the running back, of course. But Minnesota ditched Dalvin Cook, and now they're going with Alexander Mattison. I think they're going to pass the ball even more after drafting Jordan Addison as well. So this is a team that is going to pass to set up the run. They're going to throw a lot to Justin Jefferson early, TJ Hawkinson, get that defense to take a couple steps back, and then give the ball to Alexander Mattison to give him a little more space to work in. I think he's going to look great. He's looked pretty solid in the starts that he's had, filling in for Dalvin Cook in the past. He's a very good running back. He can carry a full workload like he did at Boise State. I'm excited to see what he does this year.
Fitz, what do you think here?
I'm cautiously optimistic. I mean, we have seen Mattison make 6 previous starts for the Vikings, and he averaged 115 scrimmage yards in those starts and had 5 touchdowns. So, but as has been pointed out to me by Andrew Erickson, half of those starts were against the Detroit Lions. And this Buccaneers defense, a little tougher than the Lions defense has been in recent years. You got Vita Vea up front, one of the better run stuffers in the league. So, as we have just been talking about, though, he's got multiple outs. Even if he's bottled up in the running game, Mattison can catch passes. He's a jack of all trades. Good enough in every area. But we've seen Kevin O'Connell express confidence in Mattison. Like, all reports say, O'Connell and his staff are content to roll with Mattison as the lead back. So cautiously optimistic. Not supremely confident, but cautiously optimistic.
And cautiously optimistic for Fitz means RB19, which is what he has in our half PPR rankings right now for week one. I want to make a note, you know, D-Bro, who will typically be writing the primer when he's at full health. I just want to let everybody know about my primer, which allows you to get a personalized view of the primer, which is tailor-made for your specific fantasy team. You can find this if you go to fantasypros.com/myplaybook, and it breaks down an absolute beast of an article that the primer is, with more info than you could ever need. and then it puts it into just the terms that you can use for your own fantasy team. It's a really nice tool. It makes it really convenient for you. You can quickly sync your team for our in-depth advice on your players. Again, that's fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Let's go to game number 6 here, Titans at Saints. And Fitz, this is another one that we kind of talked about yesterday too with Erickson. Is Jamal Williams in RB1 as long as Alvin Kamara is out? And I will tell you, right now in the expert consensus rankings, he's like RB25. Not even an RB2, let alone an RB1. I think as long as Kendre Miller is banged up and Alvin Kamara is on suspension, I am starting Jamal Williams no matter what, even if I drafted him later and have running backs that I drafted ahead of him on my roster. I think he's a no-doubt RB1. What say you, Fitz?
This is the dilemma of volume versus matchup. And the volume is looking great for Jamal Williams because there's no Kamara. Don't know if there's going to be Kendre Miller, who's iffy, I think, because of a knee injury. So, it's going to be an all-you-can-eat smorgasbord of carries for Jamal Williams, but against one of the toughest run defenses in the league. And the Titans are kind of a pass funnel defense. Like, they're great against the run, not so good versus the pass. So maybe the Saints come out throwing and we only see Jamal get 12, 13 carries if the Saints choose to attack through the air. But you would think with that sort of volume, like, he's going to have a good day, but I'm not quite ready to go into RB1 territory with this matchup. Like, Jamal, he doesn't catch passes too. So unlike Alexander Mattison, he doesn't have that extra out when he runs into a tough run defense. So I'm a little cautious here. I've got him ranked as more of a lower end running back 2, maybe even high end running back 3. So I'm a little scared of the matchup.
What do you think, Bogman? I mean, you've been talking a lot in this episode about guys who are going to get in the end zone. I mean, if anybody's going to have a good chance, I think it's Jamal Williams.
Yeah, volume is king in fantasy, and Jamal is going to have it for the next 3 weeks. 2 tough matchups, one easy one, depending on how the defenses play from year to year. But the Saints look like a tough, Titans look like a tough matchup. Next week against the Panthers looks like a nice matchup, but then the Packers. That's his 3 games without Kamara. And like you said, Kendre Miller's banged up. Do we know who the last guy is? Because it's such a weird thing to me who the 3rd guy on the depth chart is right now. Do you know who it is, Fitz?
Oh, man. Top of my head,
it's
Kirk
Merritt, who played wide receiver at Arkansas State, is now the 3rd running back for the Saints behind Kendre Miller and Jamal Williams, which is just so weird, which means to me Jamal is going to get everything he can handle for the next 3 weeks.
You know,
it's
going to
be a lot of volume.
The 3rd running back is Taysom Hill.
Yeah, that's probably right. But on the depth chart is Kirk Merritt, who's probably just going to return kicks and punts or something. But yeah, it's a good situation for Jamal. I'll roll with volume. And I mean, like you said, if there's somebody that's going to get in the end zone this week, it's going to be Jamal. If I'm putting money on it, it's Derrick Henry first and then Jamal.
I'm not entirely sure I've ever heard Kirk Merritt's name before in my life. So that speaks to the depth in that backfield as long as Kamara's out and with Miller, potentially banged up as well. Let's go to game number 7. That's 49ers at Steelers. And I want to ask, and I'll start with you, Bogman, as a Steelers fan, how will last year's surprise darling Brock Purdy look against an elite defense?
Like garbage, of course. You got TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith and Cam Hayward, who is going to play. He was a little bit questionable earlier this week, but he's good to go now. Micah Fitzpatrick, the secondary looks better. The linebackers have more speed. It's going to be a tough matchup on both sides for both of these quarterbacks. Pickett, look great. All scripted drives, scored a touchdown on all 5 of them, but going to be a dose of reality with Nick Bosa back. And the same thing for Brock Purdy. Fitz has mentioned a lot on the Dynasty Pod about how Brock Purdy had some pretty easy matchups and he torched some easy defenses in his short stint at the end of the year last year. This is a real test to start, and he's got weapons. He could look good, but I think, with rust and all that stuff coming out week 1, facing one of the toughest defenses in the NFL, going to be a tough hill to climb here for Purdy.
Not just easy matchups last year, but I believe he only had 2 road starts in that stretch at the end of the year. Almost all those games came at home too. So this is a tough environment. Week 1 at Pittsburgh is not going to be easy. Fitz, what are you expecting here?
Well, first of all, Bogman, I'm disappointed that when you rattle off some of those individual Pittsburgh defenders, you neglected to mention either Nick Herbig or Keanu Benton, the rookies from Wisconsin, but I'll forgive you for that. But then just to provide some detail on what Bogman was mentioning about, you know, the easiness of the defenses that Purdy was facing last year. So in Purdy's first, well, in his five regular season starts, plus the game where he came in really early against Miami after Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, plus his first playoff game against Seattle, so that's seven games total, he did not face a defense that ranked better than 13th in DVOA against the pass. So, and he had multiple touchdown passes, two TD passes, I think, in all of those games. Then he faces Dallas in the playoffs, good pass defense, throws for 214 yards and zero touchdowns. So I definitely don't expect him to dice up a good defense on the road in Pittsburgh. You know, I think he's going to struggle. I have him ranked as like a low end quarterback two this week.
I think that's a really good note on the touchdowns too. Like the yardage was not there, even with as well as he played against, you know, relatively weak defenses. It was a lot of the touchdowns needed to come, and this is an offense where those can come in other places other than through the air from a multitude of different guys. So I'm kind of with you there. If you're stressing about your lineup management, take the stress away with My Playbook's autopilot tool at fantasypros.com/myplaybook. Enjoy automated optimal lineup adjustments, giving you both peace of mind and the best shot at victory each and every week. I love autopilot, especially if I have a busy weekend upcoming. It just makes it easy to know I kind of have that in my back pocket.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Let's go to game number 8 here. It's the last one in the early slate, I believe, and it's Cardinals at Commanders. Obviously, Cardinals, one of the worst teams in football this year, at least we all expect, and I'm sure we will all be right on that. I want to ask about one of the most popular breakout candidates, really, of all draft season. A lot of healing with Jahan Dotson throughout August. Can he put up wide receiver one numbers with Terry McLaurin banged up, Bogman?
I think he can, yeah, and especially against a terrible Cardinals defense. I mean, I'll give them a little credit. They look better than I expected in the preseason, so I'll say that. But they don't have a lot of depth, especially on the defensive line. They're going to get not a lot of pressure, and if you don't put pressure on Howell, he is going to dice you up with some good wideouts, specifically Jahan Dotson. So I love Eric Bieniemy coming in and running this offense now. We should see a lot of new wrinkles and not the same plain Jane, Greg Roman type of 3 yards and a cloud of dust crap. So I'm excited to see what Washington has on offense, specifically Dotson.
Fitz, what do you think about Dotson with McLaurin banged up, especially here in week one?
I'm excited. As Bogman said, it's a really nice matchup. The Cardinals don't have much of a pass rush. They're really thin at cornerback. And Dotson, 7 touchdowns in 12 games last year and 5 top 20 fantasy scorer games at wide receiver. So, yeah, I'm optimistic. Like, we are expecting a breakout season, and what better way to launch a breakout season than by playing the Arizona Cardinals at home?
What do you think the season is for Dotson, or excuse me, the ceiling is for Dotson throughout the season, ignoring the fact that we don't really know how long Terry McLaurin might be dealing with the toe issue? Do you think there's like high end wide receiver two upside here? Do you think there's maybe even low end wide receiver one upside for the entire year? Or are we just especially excited given the defense he's going up against, Fitz?
Yeah, let's say upper end wide receiver two, top 20 season. I don't know if he gets into the top 10 or top 12, but top 20 is realistic, I think.
That sounds about right to me. Guys, as much as I love the actual fantasy football season, I'm not sure there's anything that tops fantasy football draft night, and there's nothing, I mean nothing in the world, more fun than live drafting with your friends. The best way to kick it up a notch at your live drafts is with a case of Miller Lite. I had a few live drafts this August, and every single time, the hero of the night was the one who brought the Miller Lite, the 96-calorie beer that tastes like beer and is perfectly brewed for everything summer and fall have to offer. And now that the season is here and the drafts are behind us, the good times can still continue every game day. You can bet when I'm kicking back on Sunday night after a long day of tweeting about fantasy football, it will be a Miller Lite in my hand as I unwind with Sunday night football. So with the Miller Lite in your hand, summer doesn't just taste great. It tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/fantasypros. That's MillerLite.com/fantasypros. Or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories and 3.2 carbs per 12 ounces. Fellas, we are moving to the Sunday late afternoon slate here, game number 9, and it's Packers at Bears. And I want to ask, will the Justin Fields, DJ Moore pairing pay off right away here in week 1? Fitz, what do you think?
I think it depends on how the Packers decide to play it defensively, because if they man up with the Bears and have Jaire Alexander cover DJ Moore and shadow him for much of the day, then I think it's going to be a long day for DJ Moore. Jaire is one of the best pure cover guys in the league. But if the Packers go zone heavy, which I think they might, because that allows you to keep the quarterback in front of you. You don't turn your back on him and, you know, maybe risk letting Justin Fields run wild. Then I think Moore is going to have a chance at a good day, because Matt Harmon of Yahoo has pointed out that DJ Moore had a 10% higher success rate against zone than he did against man last year. Like, Moore is just a good zone receiver and, you know, not locked up in Jaire's coverage all day. That does give him a chance to make plays.
Bogman, what do you think?
I think so. Yeah, I think DJ Moore is going to have a pretty good day. Send him across the middle, make that whole offense shift and move and everything. This is just such a good weapon for Chicago to get. It's why they traded for him, traded the number one overall pick to, you know, in part of this package to go get DJ Moore. I think he's going to carve up the Packers probably from day one.
Do you think we'll see an impact, Boggs, on Justin Fields? Sort of like, again, we talked about a lot this summer about, like, this is the poor man's version of Jalen Hurts getting to add AJ Brown to that offense. Do you think we'll see the benefit for Fields right away?
I think we should, absolutely. And not even just that, but improvements on the line and, you know, just another year of experience, because just from like week 7 on last year, Justin Fields looked like a different player. So imagine what a full offseason is going to do for him. We could see a nice big step from Justin Fields this year.
Fields is actually another player in the Betting Pros Over-Under Challenge this week. His line is set at exactly 20 fantasy points. So in his first game with the brand new wide receiver and the improved offensive line, Bogman, do we think Fields goes over or under 20 fantasy points?
With a guy with his legs and his ability, I think you have to take the over most weeks. So I'll go over on Fields.
Yeah, he could get most of that 20 points with one long touchdown run.
Yeah.
Fitz, what do you think?
Yeah, I have to say over too. You know, especially
he rolled his eyes while he did it. I saw him do it.
Hey, but I'm a Packers fan, but yeah, like, I don't think they're going to shut down Fields on Sunday.
Let's go to game number 10 here. That's Raiders at Broncos. Key question, can Sean Payton turn around Russell Wilson / this whole offense immediately, or will it take some time? Will we see it in week 1, Bogman?
I hope so. I would say it might take a little bit of time. I think more than Russell Wilson, it's about that offensive line gelling. This is an offense that would probably look a lot better under Arthur Smith, who would run the ball 55 times a game. I think this line is built more to run the ball. So it's the same issues that Russell was having in Seattle, he's having in Denver right now. So I think it'll take a little bit, but we should see at least incremental improvements to start the season.
Fitz, what do you think?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, Drew Brees used to run Sean Payton's offense, and Drew Brees is as comfortable as can be or was operating from the pocket. And Russ is not that kind of guy. Like, he hasn't been. So I'm not sure how this is going to go. Like, I don't think it's an automatic slam dunk that Sean Payton makes Russell Wilson a, you know, well above average quarterback again.
I think that's fair. We also have a listener question here. Sean K asks, who is the better running back to start in Denver week one, Samaje Perine or Javonte Williams? Obviously, if the injury wasn't a concern, it would easily be Javonte. But we still don't really know, even though every report has been way more optimistic than a lot of us thought as we sat there last fall and watched the injury news come out. So Bogman, Samaje or Javonte in week one?
Look, Sean Payton said Javonte is going to have a large role in week one. So I'm going to believe him. Sean Payton has told us the truth for the most part to a fault for him this offseason. So I'm just going to think that whatever he says is probably going to be right. So I will say yes, I'll roll with Javonte.
Fitz, are you going Perine or Williams?
Williams, sort of reluctantly. I'm not sure I totally buy that he's going to have a massive workload in week one, but yeah, he is going to be the lead guy, I would think. If Sean Payton is talking about that, like, you have to think he's going to be the lead guy. And if he was going to put him on a pitch count, he probably would have said something about it.
Game number 11, probably my, you know, the game I'm most looking forward to on the whole slate this week. And that's Dolphins at Chargers. Going to be super fun. A couple high-octane offenses, good young quarterbacks. Going to be awesome. Great visual matchup, too. Some just really great uniforms here in this one. Again, Dolphins at Chargers. Will we be happy with the new-look Chargers play calling under Kellen Moore, Bogman?
No. You weren't happy with it in Dallas. Why would you be happy with it in L.A.? I say probably not. I think that it might be frustrating. He's a little more conservative sometimes. But we do know that he'll give a lot of touches to Eckler because he never wanted to pull Zeke off the field. So Eckler, and just like every single coach, it's the same thing every year with Austin Eckler and Christian McCaffrey, and we're going to get this guy more rest. Well, when the game's on the line, your best players are out on the field, and most NFL games are close. The game is on the line most of the game. So I think we're going to see plenty of Austin Eckler for those that are afraid. I don't really buy it. So he's just too good to take off the field. So I'll say no, but not so much from Eckler.
Do you at least think, you know, even if we weren't happy with what we saw out of Kellen Moore in Dallas, that it'll still be an improvement over what we've seen in LA, almost at San Diego, actually, in LA with the Chargers?
I mean, hopefully, but I don't know. This whole offense frustrates me. Outside of Justin Herbert and Eckler, you know, Everett is not consistent. The wide receivers are always questionable, like every week after week three. It's just an annoying offense to deal with to me. So that's probably personal bias and probably why I'm saying I won't enjoy it, but hopefully it'll be better. But I have my reservations.
Fitz, what do you think about this one? Are you excited for what we might see here in week one out of the Chargers?
I'm excited. I don't know if Austin Eckler investors are going to be real excited about the new look Chargers offense under Kellen Moore. I mean, we've seen Eckler get just ridiculous target totals with Joe Lombardi calling the plays for the Chargers. But was that good overall for this offense? I don't think so. I mean, Justin Herbert had one of the lowest average depth of throws of any starting quarterback in the NFL last year. And this is a guy with a golden arm. Like, what?
He might have the best arm in the league.
Exactly.
It's crazy.
So, yeah, I mean, you got to make this offense more vertical. And I think Kellen Moore is going to do that to some extent. And that's probably good for Mike Williams if he can stay healthy and Quentin Johnston. But
if he can catch the ball.
Yeah, if he can catch the ball, exactly. But if you're an Eckler investor, maybe not, because you're not going to get 127 targets this year. But for everyone else, I think it's a good thing.
We'll go to game number 12 here. That's Eagles at Patriots, Super Bowl rematch from a few years ago. Will the loss of Shane Steichen in Philly hurt more than we expected? Because there wasn't really that much talk about it this offseason, as far as it's just kind of, okay, Jalen Hurts is great, top three quarterback in fantasy. AJ Brown, great. Devontae Smith, great. Offensive line, great. But they did lose what I believe to be is a very good play caller and a play designer. I think I'm a big fan of Steichen, which is one of the reasons why I really like, you know, the future of Anthony Richardson in Indy. But will it hurt Hurts and this Eagles offense more than we've kind of given it credit for, Fitz?
I don't want to downplay the importance of good coaching, but Jalen Hurts, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, the best offensive line in the league, a good mix and match running back group. I think the Eagles offense is going to be just fine.
Bogman,
you'd
be
OK with Kellen Moore running this offense, I think. It's about the players. Right. And Fitz is 100% right on this. Like, yes, it absolutely hurts to lose a coach. I think the more concerning thing would be if they try to change too much. We know, obviously, the Eagles bring in DeAndre Swift, and you don't bring in DeAndre Swift unless you want to pass to the running backs a little bit more. But it wasn't broke. Why are we trying to fix it is my question here. You just got to the Super Bowl, so hopefully not too much of a Super Bowl hangover. Obviously, Bill Belichick can scheme up a solid defense, and he's had a whole offseason to prep for the Eagles. So I am interested to see. I think this game is going to be much closer than anticipated because of that. But I think the Eagles are just too good, too much sound on offense to really take a big step backward. So I'll say not as much as they could have. Too much talent on the field.
Somebody that we have no question marks about in the Eagles offense is A.J. Brown. And if you want a chance to win a signed A.J. Brown Eagles jersey, courtesy of bettingpros.com, your place to start betting smarter and not harder, you need to subscribe to the Fantasy Pros YouTube channel right now. Comment below on this video, and that's it. We will be announcing a winner right here on the channel, so make sure to turn on those notifications so you can be alerted when new episodes are up and to claim your prize. Also, I just want to mention, since a lot of these questions are about kind of like overarching, like coaching, what do we expect, a new look offense, that's really specific to week one. We'll definitely get into more specific matchup stuff as the season goes on week to week, but there's just so many questions about offenses and players that we haven't seen in these situations before, so we kind of really wanted to highlight that since we still haven't really seen any games take place yet heading into week one. Let's go to game 13. That's the last on the late afternoon Sunday slate. That's Rams at Seahawks. And my question here is, how much playing time will the Seahawks rookies, specifically JSN and Zach Charbonnet, earn right away? Bogman, what do you think? And again, remember, everybody listening, these are two dynasty guys, so they should have some real insight here.
Yeah, I think a lot. You know, the Tony Romo's favorite word, a meritocracy, is what Pete Carroll runs in Seattle. If you are good in practice, you are going to play a lot. So I would say for week one, probably more Zach Charbonnet than JSN. JSN is still recovering from the wrist injury and stuff, so maybe he gets a limited pitch count or whatever it is. But Charbonnet, I think we see a lot of him in the second half. I think the Rams are one of the worst teams in the NFL this year, specifically without Cooper Kupp week one. Aaron Donald, okay, Wormley, name me another guy on defense for the Rams.
I'm not sure I could.
Yeah, see, so that's what it is. It's Ernest Jones is okay at linebacker, his first year as a full-time starter behind Bobby Wagner last year, and nobody else. Like, it is a mess on defense for the Rams right now. They're gonna have to spend a lot of draft picks fixing it, and the offense is gonna suffer too, because it's gonna be long drives from opponents this year against the Rams. And I think we're going to see a lot of Zach Charbonnet in the second half here. So I think a lot for those guys because they've earned it.
I think I might have had a better chance at pulling Kirk Merritt than I would have another defender on the Rams beyond Aaron Donald. Fitz, what do you think about these Seattle rookies?
So, yeah, I don't know if JSN is going to get a lot of snaps this week because of the wrist thing, but I do think Smith and Jigba is going to get a lot of run early in the season just because he is so far and away better than the fourth receiver for the Seahawks, whether that's D. Eskridge or Derek Young. I'm not quite sure who that is. So we're going to see him in three receiver sets for sure. I'm not quite as confident about Charbonnet getting a lot of work early in the season, just because it is a meritocracy and, you know, Charbonnet hasn't really earned it in a game yet. Like, if he makes the most out of his probably limited snaps in the first couple of games of the season, then, yeah, he's going to get more and more. Pete Carroll maybe, you know, turn this into something closer to a 50-50 backfield. But I think until that happens, it might be little doses early in the season.
Let's go to game 14, which is Sunday Night Football, Cowboys at Giants. My key question here is, will we ever stop getting NFC East teams on Sunday Night Football week one every single year? I'll answer my own question. Unfortunately, no.
The so biggest markets.
I will go. You don't need a market. It's week one. Everybody's watching anyway.
Doesn't matter. Like, they're going to do it. They're going to keep doing it.
My
you know
actual
that.
Question is, was CeeDee Lamb overlooked this draft season? And is he about to take another leap? Because he's a guy that went in the second round of pretty much every draft that everybody was in, who has a good quarterback, who is a super talented guy, has a pedigree, has been good in the NFL. And I feel like there wasn't a lot of conversation as much as there was about some of the other second round picks that people saw as having more upside. So is CeeDee Lamb a little overlooked? Will this be kind of another step forward for him this year, starting in week one, Bogman?
No, I don't think he was overlooked. I think I think people not talking about him just shows how reliable he is. We know what we're getting out of CeeDee Lamb. So could he take a bigger step forward? Sure. He could go into that wide receiver one category where, you know, we're taking Tyreek Hill and Cooper Kupp and all those before the injury and all those guys. I don't know that he's going to step into the Jefferson Chase category, but he can be right in the mix with those other wide receivers in the first round after this year. It would be no surprise, but that's not a giant step up. He's so reliable. We know what we're getting from him. So I think that's kind of why there wasn't a lot of discussion, is because we know what to expect from CeeDee Lamb.
Fitz, you've got Lamb wide receiver 5 in your week one ranking. So I assume you are high on him this week, like most people.
Definitely. And it's not that he was necessarily overlooked in draft season, but I do think he is being regarded as sort of a finished product. We don't know if he's a finished product. He's only 24 years old. I mean, the breakout happened last season, but who's to say the elevator isn't still going up? So, yeah, I'm pretty excited. And that's why I've got him ranked ahead of guys like, or had him ranked ahead of guys like Stephon Diggs, A.J. Brown, in my draft rankings. Like I think he could still be better than he was last season.
Yeah, only 9 touchdowns last season. I think that's a number that could go up by a handful as well and really kind of elevate him in the fantasy scoring. Let's go to Monday Night Football. Wrap things up here. We don't get the doubleheader to start off the season. We get that in week 2 this year for Monday Night Football. I'm not sure why they did that, but we do get Bills at Jets for game number 15 of the week. Key question: with all the offseason's Garrett Wilson hype, will it be proven right in week 1? Fitz?
Tentative no on that. I do think Wilson's stakeholders will be happy with his target share in week 1, but it's a tough matchup. I mean, the Bills are good against the pass, so I don't think he goes off against the Bills, but, you know, I think Rodgers will look to him quite often.
Bogman, what do you think?
I'm going to disagree. I think he looks good from the jump. It is a tough matchup against Buffalo. Buffalo has a very good defense, but I don't know. There's something about this that is, for week 1, I just have a very good gut feeling about Garrett Wilson and Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, we've seen this work. It worked for Tampa Bay when you drop in Tom Brady and they win a Super Bowl. It worked for the Rams. You drop in Matt Stafford, you win a Super Bowl. That's what the Jets are going for. So I think it's going to be a big week 1 from them. And I think it would be smart for them to, if they get out to a lead, to never take the foot off the gas, to dominate. And I think that's what they're going to want to do week 1, to kind of show this division we're the team to go through, not Buffalo.
Guys, we got through week 1 of the preview section, at least. I'm just so excited. I mean, we are so ready to sit down and watch Red Zone for 7 straight commercial-free hours.
I know
that's not the line. And just enjoy it and just football back in our lives. There's a big smile on our faces for the next few days leading up to that Sunday afternoon kickoff. It's just going to be super awesome. So thank you for filling in again, Bogman. Thank you both for joining. For Bogman and Fitz, I am Ryan Wormley. We will be back all season long. For those guys, I'm Ryan. We'll see you.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/FantasyPros.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.